Last week was really a hakdama, an introduction, which we did a little bit further ahead in the sefer. And tonight I want to begin, but I don't want to begin at the beginning for a very simple reason. I don't think that we're prepared for the beginning. Unlike most svarim, where he sort of lets you in, where the mechaber, the author, lets you in easily. Here, his philosophy is to give everything right at the beginning, and the first section of the sefer, which we'll come back to Mishnah at the end of the summer. The first section deals with his baidus, with strengthening one's ability to be able to begin to carry on a very personal conversation with Hashem, and how to enter into the world of his baidus, which is a very, very, very important subject, and it's one of the main objectives of the sefer, which is why he begins with that introduction. But I feel that before we come to that, it would be very kedai for us to work our way through some of the yesaidus of Emuna. So then, at the end of the summer, when we come back, we'll go back to that. Those first few pages, I think it'll be much more understandable. So let's begin on page Chav Beis, which says Emuna. We don't know who the Mechaber is, the author. He's anonymous. He's a young man that lives in Eretz Yisrael that is making an unbelievable Reishim with his Svarim that he just came out with. I know his name, but it wouldn't make a difference, and he doesn't want it being known, so he left it like this. Okay, Emuna. Ha'im yesh Yehudi she'enu ma'amid b'kadosh baruch hu? Is there such a thing as a Jew who doesn't believe in Hashem? Bevadai she'en b'nimtzi Yehudi kazeh. There's no such thing as a Jew who doesn't believe in Hashem's baruch. Ba'imek ha'lev shel kol Yehudi kvua ha'emuna b'kadosh baruch hu. In the depth of the heart of every Jew, there is fixed and established that emuna in Hashem. Emuna is a tmuna amayk b'nefesh ha'adam. It's very deep within the soul. B'rayved ha'pnimi b'yoyser shal nafsho. The most inner layer of the soul. Rayved sh'rayvubam shal hanoshim afilam ma'aminim shayim retari mitzviz kedin ukalach ha'enim akim rayved zeh. That emuna of a Jew, which is hidden, it's not only hidden to non-religious people. Most religious people, he says, most religious people who their whole lives are observant of Shema Torah mitzvahs also spend their lives not generally coming to contact with that inner point of emunah inside of a Jew. Zui nekudas ha'etzem shel ha'neshama shel ha'yehudi. That is the etzem, the inner point of the soul of a Jew. Shesham lo yishayach musag shel kfir ha'klal. And at that point that every Jew has, it's impossible to deny Hashem. The fact that there are some people that write books and speak out against Hashem, that is only because, as the Tanya explains in Yud Ches and Yud Tes, which he spoke about over the years, that's only because the person was not in a situation, in a position where he had to make that choice between being a Jew or being someone that believes in God or someone that rejects God, Chas V'Shalom. The vast majority of Jews throughout history, when confronted, when challenged with making that choice between Hashem or rejecting, denying Hashem, even Jews who were not religious, even Jews who claimed that they were atheists, when it came down to it, were unable and are unable to let go of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a point inside each and every one of us that's simply impossible. It's impossible in that point to deny Hashem. Ulam kevin shesham ein shaykh kfira, sham gam ein shaykh avayda klal. Now, the fact that there's no kfira, there's no denial of God in that point, means that there's also no service of God in that point. In other words, there is a part of us that has nothing to do with free choice. It's something that we've inherited from Avraham Avinu, as the Ramchal explains in Derech Hashem. Until Avraham Avinu, there was this possibility for another nation, another person, another people to somehow grab on to this inyan eloki, to this godliness in the world. For whatever reason, it's not important for now, it's the Ramchal and others. From the time of Avraham Avinu, all of us have received genetically, obviously not in any biological way, although scientists have now discovered that there are genes for Kahanim and other things like that, but genetically, in a spiritual way, we've received this nakuda that each and every one of us has inside of us a point where there's no choice. We're Jews, and we have this emunah that we received from our ancestors, but for the same reason that there's no kfira, that in that essence of a Jew, one cannot, the Jew cannot deny, cannot reject God, there's also no real avoida in that point either. It's just, that's the reality, that's the metzias. The same way that you might have difficulties with a parent, but you can't say that that's not your mother, that's not your father, that's your those are your parents. There could be different inyanim, and only where there's, only in the area of bechira is there avoida and is there kfira with a parent also. You can say, you can work hard to appease a parent and to please a parent and to respect a parent, and you could have other things about the parent that you reject and you say, I don't agree with you. In that area, there's avoida, there's bechira, there's avoida, there's kfira. But in the reality that you're that child, that's not a matter of bechira, you're that child. So too, each and every Jew, in the essence of who he or she is, cannot be kaifer b'Hashem, cannot deny Hashem, but also doesn't really have to choose God. It's just that's the reality of who he is. Kol avoidas ha'adam hi mitachas l'nekudas emegzeh. All of our avoida, all of our serving God, which means all of our free choice and all of the difficulties and all of the nisyanis, all of that is from that, from beyond that point and on. Lower than that point. But that point of the essence is something which is non-negotiable. Avoidas ha'adam hi shekishem shebenekudas emegzeh ein safek klal. So what is our avoida? Our avoda is that the same way shibin nekudas emegzeh ein safek klal, the same way in the depths of that inner point of who we are, there is no doubt, there is no question. Yesh emuna behira v'chazaka shlo shayach shibi la'arer oisa klal. So too, this is a printing mistake, so too, there is a faith. In other words, in that point of who we are, there is a faith that is absolutely clear and strong, that's unshakable. Our responsibility, our schus as Jews, is to somehow to take that inner absolute clarity of who we are and to bring it out and draw it out into all aspects, into all components of our lives. Not that it should remain something which is hidden and theoretical, but it should affect our very lives in every way. From the most inner aspects of our lives to every single thing that we do and how we act, which we'll talk about. Hadera hatova biyoser ulam gam hakasha biyoser hu shehadam ya'ayrev yigalas hanakuda hapnim shanavsha. So the best thing to do, but the most difficult thing to do, is to somehow awaken, to arouse, to bring out of its hiding place that inner point of who we are. U'misham yizgala b'yamuna. And then the amuna will be revealed. V'yamshich korach zel akol chalkei hanefesh. And then we can draw that korach to all aspects of our lives. U'lam kevin shenekuda zu shel hanefesh shi hanekuda amuka b'yoser b'nafsha shel adam. However, since that point of absolute faith, that point of clarity, is the deepest point of who we are. We don't normally enter into that place. That's the Kodesh Kodashim. That's the Holy of Holies of who we are. And we don't normally enter into that place. Sometimes it could be, God forbid, when a person is tested in such a way, where he's being, as there were many people in history and our ancestors, that were given a choice. Even people that were not necessarily observant, as I said before, but were given a choice to remain Jews or to reject the Yiddishkeit. And if they were going to remain, if they insisted on remaining, it meant that they would have to give up their lives. And thousands upon hundreds of thousands of our ancestors made that choice for Hashem, and many people who were not religious at all. But generally, on a normal day, like on a Tuesday night in the summer, how does one approach that nekuda of amunah? It happens when everything starts to fall apart, when you're terrified, when you're frightened. I remember the time of the Persian Gulf War. So I ran over to a relative to go see. I was giving a shiur that night in Queens, and we heard a tumult. What happened? That Eretz Yisrael was being attacked, and I ran over in Farakway to a relative to go to see what was doing on the news. And there was a certain broadcaster that I remember as a kid being in Eretz Yisrael was famous as a kaifer. He was famous as an apikoros. Anything that he could say against the Yiddishkeit, he said. And I remember that when I came into the house to see the news, so this guy, his name is Chaim Yavin. This guy was saying, Shema Yisrael. He was screaming at us, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, on the television to every single person there at Yisrael. Because there was it was a night of Mesiris Nefesh, it was a night of Nisyanis, it was a night where you were shaken to the core. And the tzaddikim say that a Jew is like an onion. You know, when you take away the last peel, you're only left with tears. And that's the truth. That if you take away all of the peels of a Jew, then you get to that inner point, one page Chav Beis, to that inner point of a Yid. We started on Chav, we didn't get to there, we started on Chav Beis. That inner point of a Jew, which is called Emunah. But on a regular day, Stam, thank God, things are okay, and nothing is scary, and no one's giving us any choice to be Jews or not to be Jews. Stam. We don't feel that we have a gisha. We don't have a way to approach that inner essence, Itzur Regila. Hanakuda azu tmuna mechusa b'mechitzais rabbis. That point is hidden and covered by many, many veils, many coverings. Generally, we don't even feel that we have that. Maybe Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, when you scream at Hashem Hulakim, right? At that moment of Hashem Hulakim and Yom Kippur. But on a regular day, we don't feel that, even religious people. And if you're not aware of the depths of who you are, so how do you get there? What's the way to get there? The truth is, there is a way to get there. There is a way of Mesiris Nefesh. That's a famous story in the Gemara. It's not really kedai to go into right now. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah tells us about a person. I'm sure you've heard this in many Rosh Hashanah Kippur drushes and talks of Aseres Metshuva. There was an individual who was guilty of the most horrible aveiros his entire life, and he was preparing to do the worst aveir of all. And whatever happened, it turned around, and he couldn't live with himself. He couldn't live with himself, and in the end, he died. He died doing tshuva. His soul left him. He couldn't go on living. The Mesiris Nefesh of Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya means in our lives, when there's something, let's say, that we want to do that's wrong, and we want to do it very, 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 very badly, and we have been wanting to do that and waiting to do that, and then a person, this is a very strong example of Mesiris Nefesh, then the person, simply because of the Ratzon Hashem, does not do that. That Mesiris Nefesh awakens within a person. It shakes the person up to the nekuda of who he is. I might have once told you that there was a friend of mine, Yehuda Zakatinsky, told me that he had a guy that came to him when he was teaching in Eishet Torah in Eretz Yisrael many years ago, and there's a fellow that came with a heavy accent from some little steppe or some place in Middle America, and my friend asked him, what are you doing here? What's your story? You know, everybody has a maisa. So this guy, there was a maisa that he, I think I told this a few years ago, that he was in the Persian Gulf War, and he was an American soldier who had actually trained in West Point, and he was already an officer, and he was sitting at a meeting over there. They were stationed in Lebanon someplace, Sachreis. No, it wasn't that period, it was the 73 war. And he was stationed in Lebanon, and the American commanding officer that gave instructions that if necessary, only as a last resort, that the American soldiers will have to shoot if there's anybody that's crossing over a certain point, whether it's an Israeli or whether it's an Arab. And this guy, who's totally, totally assimilated, from an assimilated family, raised his hand and said, I'm sorry, sir, if it's a Jewish soldier, I will not shoot. And everybody said, what are you crazy? Don't say anything. What do you have to say that for? And the commanding officer said, I'll make believe I didn't hear that. Let's continue. And he said, no, sir. I must tell you that I would not shoot if it was an Israeli soldier. In the end, he was court-martialed for saying that, and he was imprisoned. And it was only because of some senators and Jewish people here in the States that he was given a honorable discharge, which was a big chiddush. They wanted only to give him a dishonorable discharge. He got an honorable discharge. He said to my friend that he came back to his town someplace, and when he got back there, so he started to pack his bags, and his parents asked him, where are you going? So he says, going to Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem? What are you going to Jerusalem? So he said, my whole adult life, I'm training for the army to be a soldier, and I was finally made it through West Point and to become an officer and so on. And then I gave up everything because I'm a Jew. And I'd like to understand why I did that. I'm not sure why I did that, but I'd like to find out why I did it. So he told my friend, so I'm here in Jerusalem because I'd like you to tell me why did I do what I just did. So we don't even understand that. That nekuda inside of a person. But one thing is certain, that when he made that decision that I have to say in front of everybody here that I would never shoot a Jew, that tore off the lid that was covering up all those covers that was beneath that nekuda. When he heard from a guy that those words, that you will shoot a Jew if necessary, that shook him up in such a way that touched that part of him that's called emuna. And the problem is that he says with mesiris nefesh, he says ulam b'derech klal, again on a regular Tuesday night in the summer, kashal adam lagil a matzav shel mesiris nefesh. It's very hard to come to a matzav from mesiris nefesh. B'chdei lagil l'kach, asher chas v'shalom ma'aminim asaltim b'fnei gimel aveiros. God forbid, sometimes Hashem puts a person in a situation where he's challenged with one of the big three aveiros, where he has to make a decision on that level to be mois and nefesh, to be prepared to mamish give up his life. Then there's a halacha that says that if you're confronted with one of those three aveiros of avodah zarah, of idolatry, or gilui raos, or immorality, or shvichas dam, or the choice to kill somebody and not to kill another Jew, so as this person was told, so then there's a halach of mesiris nefesh, and when a person is mesiris nefesh, misgalabu b'shas mesiris nefesh, hanakuda ha'pnimis shal nafsha, then that inner point of who he is, it becomes misgala, that moment of his readiness to give up his life. So this person was prepared to give up everything, and when there's especially in the halachas kama v'kama, certainly when a person is prepared to mamish give up his life, at that moment, you know, there's a kabbalah from the Shlach, that anybody who's killed al kiddush Hashem, any Jew who's killed al kiddush Hashem does not feel any pain when he's killed. The Shalor received in a Kabbalah that any Jew that was ever killed al kiddush Hashem, at the moment of his death, the sweetness of that of coming into contact with that inner point of who he is, that sweetness and that clarity removes any pain that's there at the moment of death. Again, we don't understand. You can ask Akasha, but what about this person screaming and yelling and so on? Whatever that means. That second of death, there isn't any pain, because at that moment he comes into that point of who he really is. Ulam, zu isarus de la'ela. That's something that comes from Shemayim, whether God puts you into such a position or not. The Beis Yosef was davening his whole life that he was hoping that God would give him the opportunity to die al kiddush Hashem, and he didn't. He didn't die. He died a regular death. He didn't die al kiddush Hashem. He was all of his life. He was davening. Rabbi Kiva was davening that he should die such a way, and he died such a way, right? He wanted to give up his life to die in the oneness of God's name, Rabbi Kiva, and he was, as you know, he was burned to death. But the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, all of his life he was dying that he should, he was davening that he should have the schus to die al kiddush Hashem, and it wasn't answered. So we say Baruch Hashem. So we have Shulchan Aruch, a lot of other good things, but that's something that's not up to you. That's something that comes from above. Whether you're put into that situation where you have to make such a choice, whether you have to make such a decision. But how do you yourself, without being in a horrible situation in life, obviously we're not allowed to put ourselves into these tests, and we always are davening to Hashem, don't test us with these things. So how do we come into contact with that deeper emunah? Stop. With an Isirus de Lasata, which means by our own initiative. Isirus de La'ela means an awakening from above, which means Hashem's initiative. And Isirus de Lasata means an initiative from below, in our own lives. How do we awaken that within ourselves, to this readiness and this willingness to be Maisa Nefesh to Hashem, shum lachatz utchaf chitzaini, without any external pressure, without any circumstances outside of our lives changing? This requires a person to be a very big Baal Madrega, to be on a very high level, to be Mois and Nefesh in such a way. There are situations like this, unfortunately, there are all kinds of difficulties, as you know, that are going on in Klal Yisrael. There was It was recently we had a woman from the neighborhood, a very chashuv woman, who was diagnosed with breast cancer, la'aleinu. And she comes from a modern background. She's a very thinking person, a very fine person, but she comes from a very modern background. And when this was discovered, and we were talking, so she said to me, "If you want to know what could she do? Now, what's her avayda?" So we were talking about this, and I said to her that I heard from many tzaddikim, I've seen in many svarim, that the davening is all special, it's all beautiful, and everybody else davening, that every single thing helps. But the ikur is mesiris nefesh. The nekuda of being maisa nefesh, in other words, to give up something that you've been holding on to, or to take upon yourself something that for many years you've been putting off because it would require too much mesiris nefesh. And that we have a Kabbalah that's bigger than any Tehillim rally, such a thing. If a person can do something with mesiris nefesh, because it begins to turn your entire life around also, all of your avoid, it changes, because then you come into contact with who you really are, only when you had to give up to something. And I was more than amazed. I'm always amazed by people, because it's easy for me to always give these drashas and to talk to people, but then, they, you know, when people actually do these things, it's always such an inspiration. And a week or so later, now a little bit more like 2 weeks later, I had a conversation with her, and I told her, "You don't have to tell me or anybody else what you do. It's your business, what you want to do. But I'm just saying that this is a very big thing for you to be maisa nefesh." But she wanted to share with me because she was having a certain inyan, you know, with her husband that it had to be resolved, that he wasn't prepared for her mesiris nefesh that was going to affect him also, right? So, you know, we were having a conversation, but she had such a hischaskis, and she told me that. She said to me, "Bepemalei, whether I live," she said to me, "such a lesson, whether I live or I die, I see now that this is the right thing." But this, because when she came to that decision to be maisa nefesh, which was motivated by a certain fear of, okay, we understand that, but when she came to that point of truth in herself, then she was saying to me, "I don't know how I ever didn't see this. My entire married life, I didn't realize how important this was, and now I realize it." Because in that point, there is that clarity. But on a regular day, if thank with God's help, everybody is well, we don't have these madregas. We're not in these madregas. L'kach, kevin shekol derech zu lahagil in nekuda hapnimis shel Yehudi, ha'yidei mesiris nefesh, since to come to that inner nekuda of a Jew is through mesiris nefesh, l'kach kimat she'en adam she'yochel lidrech b'derech zu. There are very few people that can actively make a choice on a normal, healthy, regular day to go in that way. And that path in the Mesiris Nefesh, next page, Ulakach, Ad Surah Ru'i L'Kol Adam. Therefore, Ad Surah Ru'i L'Kol Adam L'Hashrish Es Amuna B'Libo. So, let's talk about regular people and regular situations to strengthen the Amuna within us. Reishis tzarech lezbein bekach rabbis b'sichlo. This is the beginning. And as he said in the introduction, which we didn't read, there are people who are going to say, why do we have to learn this? This is so obvious, this is so clear to us. But you might remember last week we were talking about that line in the Mesil Shasham, Ashiyas Baravi Yis Ames. There are things that we know, but we don't live with. And we have to strengthen it within ourselves. So he says, Reishis tzarech lezbein bekach rabbis b'sichlo. We have to get into the habit of spending a great deal of time concentrating and thinking. She'ein manhig acher lebira elohu yisbaruch shamay. That there is no other one who rules. There's no other korach in the world to control what happens other than Hashem. V'ya'ameis es advarim b'sichlo. And one has to confirm this and strengthen this truth in one's mind. Shabemes ein prat. There is not one detail. V'lu ha'katan v'yoser, even the tiniest. Shakadosh Baruch Hu einam ashgiach alav, that Hashem is not watching over. Rav Kook Zecher Tzadik Livracha used to say that it says in the Siddur, Ma'agodlu ma'asecha, Moed omku ma'ashvaseh, how awesome and great are the actions of Hashem. Rav Kook said, I say that, Rav Kook said, but I, in my heart, I'm much more impressed with Ma'akotnu ma'asecha Hashem, which means how minuscule and tiny are God's actions. What did he mean by that? He said that in our generation, in that time that they discovered, you know, molecules and atoms and how every tiny thing, he says, Rav Kook said, I'm more impressed with the tiny things in the world than with the big, you know, dramatic things. The tiniest thing in the world. Every single prat. Every single thing the Baruch Shalom is a Mashgiach alav. Every single thing. And when a person clarifies this and thinks about this often, that there is ein oy, there is no other koach in the world, only God. Rak hu hamanhig hayochid shel habir. He is the only one that directs and controls everything that takes place. Azay yarbe ma'oid b'diburim shel amuna. Then the next step, knows, we try to think about this and clarify this thought in our minds, but it's not enough. After that, he says, we have to begin to speak diburim of emuna, to use words of emuna. Speech has an unbelievable effect upon a person. Many tzaddikim explain the pasuk, he'amanti ki adaber. And Yanisim Ayd, he'amanti ki adaber means that through my speech and by saying words of emuna, I begin to believe more. He'amanti ki adaber. The definition of a human being is that he's a medaber, that he has the ability to speak. And it's that koach hadibur that brings together the neshama and the guf, the soul and the body. He'amanti ki adaber means that by using words of emuna, by speaking in a way of emuna, those diburim, those words, have a tremendous effect. Shalidei ki adaber, sha'odem marber b'dibur emuna. The person uses many diburim of faith. Aideze gufa, mashrish b'libo hamuna b'boya oylem yizbaruch shemo. By that itself, a person is able to strengthen within his heart a feeling of emuna in the Bari Olam. This is something that in the lives of our mothers, our grandmothers, our great grandmothers, especially the men also, was much more common than now, where the burim, and I mean, I don't mean in all circles. In certain circles, you still hear that the way of speaking is with that kind of emuna in every word. I don't just mean the occasional Emir Hashem or Baruch Hashem, which is wonderful. But there's a certain type of a dibur that our grandmothers, not that I've heard my grandmother, I don't know, I never had a grandmother, but that the babis and the zaydis of those times, and still they shall live and be well of our times, and certainly further back, that they lived in a constant dialogue with Hashem Yisbarach. And they would always say words of emunah, and everything in their speech was filled with Hashem Yisbarach. And it was part of the language of our ancestors. Diburim of emunah. It was part of the language of our ancestors. If we would stop if we would record ourselves stam on a given day already, we already, Baruch Hashem, we're still one generation, we're still close to the generation, but by the children and grandchildren, if we record ourselves also, and if we would just compare the way that we speak, I'm not saying bad things, I'm saying the regular day, how we talk, to the way that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and imagine if we had recordings of, you know, if it were possible to know from before, of the diburim, of how the speech is now and the speech was then, there's a tremendous, tremendous difference. Sometimes if you go in Hasidic circles, you hear but Hasidim is still very, very strong, certain kind of diburim, at least I'm talking to the children, it comes out very strong, and Bechlal, but not only there, but the Svardim also, very strong diburim of Amunah, that they're constantly speaking with Hashem's name and constantly talking words of Amunah. This has a tremendous effect upon a person. V'kach yargilus atzma b'chol pam b'chol eisa b'chol shah l'darbe harbe me'emuna. It's an unbelievable, powerful thing to try to infuse into our vocabulary, into our daily speech, words of emuna. It's not just a gimmick. It has a tremendous koach to be mashpia on our emuna. Ki zeh yisoid kol achayim, emuna. That's the foundation of life. Emuna zeh hanishmas chayim shel ha'adam. The emuna of a Jew is the soul of a Jew. Bli emuna ha'chayim enam klum. Without emuna, the life is not really anything. Emuna bihiru v'chazaka, but it means an emuna that's shining, that's strong. The kevin says the ikur kol ha'chayim emuna, since it's the ikur of all of life. L'kach tzarech tamid l'daber dibur emuna. Therefore, a person must constantly always speak diburim, words of emuna. and to not only to say the words, but to try to think of what he's saying in his mind. That everything is only from Hashem. And all that I'm doing in my life, everything is only with him. In other words, it might look like this person is making a decision about my life, or this other person is making a decision about my life, but everything is only Hashem. And everything that happens to me is only from Him. Even though it seems to me that something is happening to me through some other person, through this person or through that person, the person has to repeat this over and over again. That it wasn't this person who did that for me. Although I appreciated the person did something nice for me, I appreciate that he wanted to be a kli, a vessel, through which Hashem would bring something good to my life. Or I can be upset with the situation of a person who was a kli, who made the choice to do something that's not good in my life. But the mitzvah is that a person has to constantly say to himself, Shelo ploni osalizos, this person did not do this to me. It's not because of this person that this happened to me. V'lo almoni, or that person. Ela rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmai mamish. It's everything is rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmai mamish. Only Hashem is Baruch Himself, that's all. V'kol HaChayim Shili, and my entire life. Ani mis'asek rak imoiz Baruch Shemo. All of my dealings, all of my business, what happens to me, everything in my life, it looks like it's with doctors or with lawyers or with accountants or with this person or that person or with the children. Everything, it looks like a million things. But the truth is that my asik, my business, is only with him. It's only with Hashem Yisbar. V'yoyse toiv, v'yoyse mo'il, la'odam. Somebody told me last night at the Chasna, said that there was a yid. It was a joke, but it was one of these sweet jokes that means something. That there was a yid that he had that. They found something that wasn't well, it wasn't good in him. He lost something that was very, very, very expensive. He lost something very expensive, and he wasn't religious. And he said to Hashem, if you help me to find this, whatever he lost, it's $10,000. If you find this for me, Rabbi Shalom, so then I promise I'm going to start putting on tefillin and eating kosher and keeping Shabbos. So like 15 minutes later, he found it. So somebody asked him, he said this to a friend. He said, no, so are you going to be religious? He said, no. He said, Baruch Hashem, I found it on my own. I said, if you find it for me, then I'll be Shem and Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, I was able to manage on my own. So we understand that that's a hepech of our emunah, that everything is only imay Baruch Shema. V'yoseh toiv v'yoseh, and how different our davening would be if we thought about that. V'yoseh toiv v'yoseh mo'al adam shi'edah b'dibu'am elu mamish b'piv imay Rabbanu Shalom. And it's not enough that Tzadikah says, it's really much better if you not only think about this, but you actually say these words, you speak. B'loshon Noichach, and to speak to Hashem directly, as our ancestors did, and as the Nevi'im did. That's how the Nevi'im spoke to Hashem. V'yermelo, and to say to Hashem, he gives an example, doesn't mean we have to use these words, whatever words you're comfortable with, in whatever language, but to say, Ani yodei Rabbanu Shalom shadover plani shakarali, I know Hashem, Rabbanu Shalom, I know. Shadava plaini shakarli, that this thing that just happened to me or that I went through, ato asis elizais, I know that you did this. V'lo af adam acher, it wasn't anybody else. V'ani batuach sh'ata oyhev osi, and I am certain that you love me. V'asis ezais rak l'tevasi hagmura, and I know that you did this only for my absolute good. K'ani batuach bevadai, because I am absolutely certain. Shakol ma'asecha heim ach v'rak l'tevasi, that everything that you do is only for my good. V'lo chas v'shom l'hepech, and I got you with the opposite. V'kach yagel es atzmo kol yimei chayev. One should get into this habit all the days of his life to speak this way, to actually say these kind of words. L'daber im ha'rabban ishlam, to speak to Hashem, diburim pshutim, simple words, kedaber ish areyu, like one speaks to a friend, v'yase mekachan, even more than that. In other words, even with more than you would say to your friend, more open and more honest. V'tamid tamid yisochech im harabban shalom, and to constantly converse with Hashem. Lo yitla tikvaso ba'achayim, and don't depend and place your hopes on others. Because you know that Hashem is the only address for everything. And all of this we do because we recognize that the essence of life is emunah, is faith. And these are examples of how we speak faithfully. In other words, we generally cannot be on the madrega that we were talking about in Mesiras Nefesh. That's something that Hashem brings to you, whatever it is. That's not our inyan. It is, but it's very, very hard in Mesiras Nefesh. Of course, that's something we can work on, but it's very hard. But this that we're talking about now, this hemantik yadaber, to live a life of having simple and sweet conversations always with Hashem Yisbarach, that's something that all of us can do and work on and improve throughout our lives. This was so obvious to our ancestors. This was so obvious. And now, if someone says it, I think, what, this is like some kind of, what's he talking about? I never heard of this. It's not, I didn't learn this in school, and nobody ever told us this. We just said Ashrei Nishtaba. But this is a very strong way to awaken emunah. Rabbi Nachman used to say that that the davening that we say all the time, the Ashrei is in the Yishtabach, so of course they're very holy and every word is great, but it's like a well-traveled road. I mean, you're going down the same road every day, so all the ganavim, or the chayis in the listim, are waiting over there by the side, right? They're waiting for you by the side because they expect, oh, this is the regular road that he travels on. They're expecting you to come to that place. He says, that's the everyday davening. So all the Yetzaharas and all the Bulbulim, all the confusion, all the Machshavas, everything is waiting for you. Oh, here he comes again. We've seen you already for the last 40 years. Come over here with your Ashrei and your Yishtabach. But what do? So Ibn Achim said, you have to go with the side street. And if you take a side road, then they don't know what to look for you there. And what are the side roads? He said, simple, personal, honest conversation with Hashem. There they don't stop you because nobody looks for you over there. That's not the normal place where a person travels. He says, it says in the Gemara, "Kamesha Amu, Bo Chavakuk v'Hamidan al Achas Tzadik be'Amanaso Yichye." Everybody's heard this, that the Navi Chavakuk summarized all of Yiddishkeit. In other words, the question that was presented to many, many great people was, what are the fundamental principles of Yiddishkeit? Now we know that the Rambam says that there are 13. The Navi Chavakuk says that the one Yisod that holds up everybody in all of life is Tzadik Bemenoso Yichya. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that the difference between the Madregas of Tzadikim, the levels of Tzadikim, is only the level of Amunah of each Tzadik, not any of the other things. Whatever we see, all different things, and we hear about in stories, is that the Madregas of Tzadikim, the difference between one Tzadik and another, is the level of Amunah. The problem is, as we've spoken about many times, that we have to learn again, like little children, what does it mean to be a ma'amin? What is a munah? And how can we strengthen our munah? That's what we're doing. Ha'achas sha'olav hemidhu, next page, emunah. That was the Navi Chavakuk said that all of life, tzadik b'manosi yichya, all of life is resting upon this yisod, which is emunah, faith. And again, emunah doesn't mean just believing that God exists, because every Jew believes that God exists. There's nobody, even the ones who say they don't. They all believe that God exists. That's not the emunah that's going to make you into a great person and to make your children great and grandchildren great. This emunah that we're learning about is a living emunah, an emunah that gives you chiyus, an emunah that mamish changes your life, that you live with and that you think about and you feel that Hashem is Baruch Hu's mamish, someone that's your best friend, that's close to you, that's your father, that's your mother. To have that kesher to Hashem is what's going to change a person's life, which we're going to be talking about. Mekeven she'emunah hi reishis kol ha'chaim, is the beginning of all of life, v'achris kol ha'chaim, and it's the purpose of all life, v'ya pnimius shel ha'kol, and it's the inner essence of all things, v'ein gvul, v'ein shir la'sogis ha'munah, there is no gvul, there's no boundary, there's no limit, v'yesh b'nei adam oivdei Hashem, There are Jews who are Avdei Hashem, who serve God. Asher Boidkim es Matzav Nafsham. They check to see what is the matzav, what is my spiritual state. And they see that the emunah is not yet rooted deep inside of them. And how does one know that? There are a million ways to know. When any little thing that happens in life throws you completely off, and you get all nervous and shaken and worried by everything that comes your way, right? And every single circumstance, even this, from the smallest things to the biggest things, turn you completely around. That's one thing. Feeling a pachad. There are people who are afraid of many, many things. They live in constant fear. Fear of God forbid getting hurt. The fear of things with panos. If they're afraid for their health every moment. They're always worried about health. They live with pachadim. There are many ways for a person to realize, to see that moon is not strong, that the davening is not with any warmth. And so on. When a person sees this, so then it can make you sad. It causes a person to become sad. Velibam koev, and the heart is in pain. The doev, and they worry. Al matzavim hayored b'amuna, and you begin to worry. What's the matter with me? My amuna is so small. Ulam lozu adarach, he says the tzaddik. That's not the way to become sad. If you feel that your emunah is weak, don't become upset or depressed. Take a short time, take a few minutes, begin to say to Hashem, talk to Hashem about it. Speak to him like a childhood friend, and even more than that. The Yamalon say, Rabbanu Shalom, Master of the Universe, Ani Yodeh She'ati Yetzarta Osi, I know that you created me. V'ata Mechaya Osi, and you give me my life. B'chol Rege, Mamish, every moment, Mamish. B'li Hefzik, without stop. B'chol Chiyusi Rak Memcho Yizbaruch Shemcha, and my whole life, every second, is only from you. V'ani Yodeh Be'biur, Be'borur, She'kol Habriya Kulu Munheges Rak Al Yodch, and I know clearly that everything in the world is only through you. Vain prat, there isn't one detail of layakot in the earth, even the tiniest. Shein munag al yodcha, that is not directed and controlled by you. Vainin yadeh shakol ma sha'ivra layin. I know that everything that happens to me, hakol rak mimcho yizbaruch shemcha, everything is only from you. Vain shum gerim acher shakaveh ma ye'imi, and there's nothing in the world that determines what will happen to me. Ela ati yizbaruch shemcha, only you. Al v'rabbani shalom, but I must tell you, Hashem, Libi maralai, my heart is broken, my heart is bitter. Shekol za'an yodeh b'seichel shali, what I just told you, I know intellectually in my brain. What I just said to you, Hashem, I know it intellectually. Aval b'leiv shali, but in my heart, ani lo tamid margishken, I don't always feel that way. B'leiv shali, ani lo margish she'amun shali kol kach hazaka. In all honesty, in my heart, I don't feel that my amun is so strong. Lefamim yoser tov, lefamim pachas tov. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not so good. Ani yodeh shelefamim ani koes ktsas. I know that sometimes I get angry, a little bit, or a lot. Him hayisi margish heitev b'shas akas. And if I would really, really feel inside of me at that time when I'm getting angry, shakol mamish mimcho yizbaruch shemcha, that everything is mamish from you, bevadai shelo hayisi koes, I certainly would not get angry. Kel mi echas? Who should I be angry with? Alecha chas shalom? Sha'ata sisazos? I should be angry with you because my emunah, in my part of emunah, I know that you're the one that did this, not that person. And you're the one that it's because of you that this happened to me, and you would only bring this upon me if it was for my good. So who am I yelling at? Who am I screaming at? What am I getting all upset about? Vaday shalo. There's no reason for me to scream because of you. Anytime that we yell at somebody, we find out there was somebody else. It's very embarrassing, right? You get upset and you find out it wasn't that person. You feel terrible. So, you could try a million things not to have kas, not to have anger. But when Chavakuk said, "Tzadik b'mnasa yichye," everything is emuna. If my emuna would be the way that it should be, and I would feel it, not just intellectually to know that there's a God, but I would feel this, emuna, then at the time that I would feel anger rising in me, it would immediately evaporate, because who am I getting angry at? This person didn't cause this to happen to me. Or you could have, I remember that there was one of the most famous baseball players, that it was right before the World Series, and he struck out, and he kicked the water cooler in the dugout with all of his strength, and he broke a couple of his toes, and he wasn't able to play in the World Series because he struck out in a game that wasn't even an important game. They already won the whole pennant. There wasn't even a problem, and he kicked this thing because of his ego, and he was angry, and because of that he couldn't play, and he had to sit down. He was the most chashuv of all, but he couldn't play in the World Series. So who are you angry at? You're angry at the water carrier, the water cooler. You're angry at that pitcher. You're angry at yourself. Who are you angry at? Ela mai shebuseichel ani yodeh shezeato. So you say to Hashem, in my head, in my brain, I know that you're behind everything. Ava b'leiv ani lo margish shezekol kach. But I have to tell you, in my heart, I don't feel it so much. Haleiv shli otum. My heart is shut. My heart is numb. And I don't feel the emunah so clearly. Rabbi Shalom, I really want to believe in you a lot. It's hard for me. I'm not really matzliach so much. Ana Abba Shali, please, my father. Psach es libi, sha'amin b'cha be'emes. Open my heart that I should really believe in you. Sha'amin b'cha ma'ayt. Really, a lot. V'ke'elu diburim v'hadayim elohem. These kind of words, these type of words. And I'll show you a little amazing sefer that I have, a little English sefer that I brought with me here. You can get that helps us with these small tefillahs in English, that it's easier for us, more comfortable for us. I mean, this whole shiur that we're learning, really, you don't need me at all for any of this. This is, we're davening together. I hope you don't mind. It's really davening together. And it's very, very simple. We could learn something. I davke don't want to learn something complicated and deep. I'll leave that to my wife. I want that we should be able to, this time, to daven together, to become bigger maminim, to become bigger Jews. And this is our avaita, this is our tefillah. Sha'am Mukham says, Ki'ilu diburim v'adayim elam yidaber kol echad v'arbanu shalom kol echad l'fit tzachis l'shayna. Each one should speak in the way that he's able to speak. Kach yargel kol adam es atzmo. Yom yom. We should get into this habit every day. Shavua v'ayit shavua. One week, another week, ayit chaydish, another month. Lo yisya'ish klal chasham. Never ever to give up. Never to give up. Never to become depressed or to give up. This is the path of emunah for a simple, average Jew. He's not talking about Bal Madregis. He's talking about for every one of us, without Mesiras Nefesh, without dramatic things going on. Simple emunah for regular Jews. Misha writes, Aliros b'chol dover hatzlocha miyad. Anybody that expects to see hatzlocha immediately, that's how we were raised in America, that we have to have, you know, microwavable success in everything. It has to be immediate. Any ochel atzlich b'shum davar amiti b'chaim can never really be successful in anything true in life. I mean, you can get a lot of stuff, you know, you can get a lot of stuff done, but not the real things in life. Yeah, Michal.
Can I go back for a second?
But yeah.
Wouldn't it be appropriate to be angry with yourself if it's clear that in some way you were responsible because of your lack of either good midos or ka'as or whatever? Wouldn't it be, in terms of other people, not to blame others?
Right. So the question of how does this relieve, or does this relieve a person of his own feelings of responsibility or guilt? Certainly it doesn't. The emotion that one should feel is not anger with oneself, but one, the difference between disappointment and anger or depression. It's true that sometimes Chazal use a lashon of being angry with one's Yetzirah. There is such a concept of being upset with oneself, but only in a constructive way. In other words, it's true. You and I, we all have bechir, we all make choices, and if we make the wrong choice, then we can't say, God forbid, well, you know, what could I do? I guess the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted me to do that. That's obviously apikoresis. We're not allowed to say that. Although there is truth to it, but it's only after we do tshuva and everything is finished, and then Hashem shows us what we did have choice to do and we didn't have, but that's not our business. Our business is to be Yosef HaTzadik and to, you know, not to do the bad thing, to run away from the bad thing. And if we're not successful, then as all the tzaddikim explain, there's a difference between how a person is after the aveir. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and all the tzaddikim said that after an aveir, it's very healthy to be angry with oneself, and even to be disappointed, but never ever sad or depressed, ever. Because sadness or depression is a siman that you're not truly an ayved, you're not truly interested in changing things or working or improving. It's just that you have a very big ego and you can't accept your failures, you can't accept your own shortcomings. But when a person is angry in a constructive way, which is not going to be like yelling at somebody, hurting somebody's feelings, but it's going to be with a resolute commitment to saying to oneself, I'm not going to do this again. I'm upset with myself. I'm very upset and disappointed. I'm angry with myself, but not depressed, but not sad. So certainly, being angry with oneself in a constructive way, is a very healthy thing. And the Torah is all for that, within reason. But when that crosses over from being angry with oneself or disappointed and bitter with oneself about wrong choices, and becomes any type of a depression, sadness, or an obsession of any sort, then that's already the work of the other side to prevent the person from moving forward. That's the usual chibud. Certainly, a person must feel with oneself that anger with oneself. That's a very healthy emotion. Now, a person who expects to have immediate hatzlacha will never really succeed in the true things of life. In the secondary, in much less important things in life, these people can be very successful. For instance, you could have a very, very motivated workaholic type of a guy that he makes all of his employees extremely nervous and constantly on their toes. And as a result of that, he's able to show the world that he built a multi-million-dollar operation. That could be. But as far as the important thing in life is concerned, he might be a complete and total lo yutzlach, meaning that every single person in that firm, you know, can't stand him. Every single person in that place wishes that he would take a very long vacation. And his own wife and children usually have similar emotions that they might not articulate. So what he's saying here is that the person who has to have immediate results, he might be matzliach. You might get that thing done quickly, and you might see results quickly, but in the important stuff in life, there's no such thing as immediate hatzlacha. That's a big cloud to live with. There's no such thing as fast food when it comes to other things besides food. You can have fast food, and even that's mostly unhealthy. But when it comes to fast, like nachas, you know, and fast chinuch, and fast learning, and fast davening, and fast tikkun hamidus, you know, fast kibud avim, and those things in life that are emistic, the hatzlacha is not going to be. The hatzlacha doesn't work like that. Yaakov even said, "Es nahala li'iti, I will move at my own pace." Esav said, "You coming with me? Right? Let's go quickly." And what did Yaakov even say? That's how come in all of Eretz Yisrael everybody moves slowly, right? "Es nahala li'iti, I have time. I will go at my pace and leregel hayiladim, and at the pace of the children. I'll move at my pace together with my children." And that's when it comes to things that are devam amitim, true things. The hatzlach is something which is not sudden. It's gradual. Just like the redemption of the Jewish people, so it is with the individual's redemption. Ha'adam chayiv l'os bal savlonis va'akshon. A person has to be bal savlonis, to be very patient and stubborn. Those are the two trademark midas of the Jewish people. Savlonis and akshonis. And they're not contradictory. Savlonis means patient, and akshonis means an action, not the chance of an action. Stubbornness. So we sometimes think in America, stubborn means it has to be now. That's not what stubbornness means in the Torah. Stubbornness means I'll wait 2,000 years if I have to. Like the Chassam Sofer said about redemption, about Geula. The Chassam Sofer said, the Jewish people have waited too long to accept some substitute for true redemption with a phony political redemption. If we have to, we'll wait, but we'll wait for true redemption with Mashiach Zikain. The Chassam Sofer said that in Pasha Shoft, in Haftar, Pasha Shoft. So the Jewish people are patient and are stubborn. That's the midas of Klal Yisrael, Savlonis and Akshamis. And the stubbornness means I'm not going to accept a phony end. I'm not going to accept some sort of a cheap imitation. I'll be stubborn and I'm going to hold out. V'afilu shenira shemispalel zman uzmanim tuva v'adayim lohisik is a matara. Therefore, even though you see that you've been davening for something, let's say for a while, and you don't see that the davening accomplished it, the objective that you were davening for, you didn't accomplish. Al yisya'ish chas Hashem. Don't be misya'ish. Just finish this paragraph. Don't give up. So that itself is the test to see that you're in action and a savlan. You're being tested. Do you have emuna that Hashem is listening to your tefillah? Or do you doubt that? And if you doubt that, so then if you see that it's not happening immediately or very soon, so then you give it up. Hashem wants to see that the person trusts that Hashem is listening and will certainly give him what he's asking for. That doesn't necessarily mean in physical things, but like the Ishbitz and others said, they can say in spiritual things for sure. Physical things, what you're asking for might be totally wrong for you, as we know. You could be in action, and you could be asking for something and for a long time, and it's just not right for you. And even then, if you keep on asking, you might get it, and it might not be good for you. Right? So somebody might daven davke for this shidduch, or daven davke for this panasa, or daven davke for this house on this block. And who says that that's good for you? You have to be careful with these things. You have to always say to Hashem, it should be good in your eyes, and you know what's better for me. And if it's not good for me, then I don't want this. But when it comes to ruchnius, certainly, when we're davening to become closer to Hashem, that's only good. There's no such thing that could be bad. When we're davening that our Shabbos should be better, that our children should be closer to Hashem's baruch, that we should be able to be zeichet to come to Eretz Yisrael and other things that are ruchnius, the good things. So then, there is savlonis and akshanis. You have to be with savlonis and akshanis. The akshanis doesn't mean now. The akshanis means I'll hold out. I'll wait, but it's going to be. I'm not going to give up. One of the most frustrating things I found growing up, and my wife can attest to this, my father is a very, very thorough person. So I hate anything tinkering with things and putting. I hate it because I can't do it. Putting things together, you know, stuff like that. Anything in the house. And when it was something like the most exciting thing in life was to get a new bicycle. So you can get them now, I think, ready-made. But even then, you were able to get it ready-made. My father would never do it. He always brought it home in the box. And I was always frustrated by that, why we couldn't get one that was, and just give it to the people in the store to put together. My father thought that was demeaning. So we would get the box, and my father would start to work on it. And first of all, he never looked at instructions. He didn't think that's for Jews. For some reason, I don't know why. So he would do it. And I'm chalishing for this bicycle and waiting and waiting. And this is such a clear thing to me, and it still goes on many times in different ways. My father would do something, and he would say, "No, it's not. It's not. It's better. We could do it like this." And I'd say, "That's fine, Daddy." He said, "That's not fine." And I said, "Daddy, it's fine. It doesn't have to be." Even when it came to the last finishing touch, like some little streamer, my father would then take another half hour and take it off and do it again. And I was going out of my kalem, but everything had to be just right. There was no, the akshanis and the savlonis of my father's algazon zayin b'sunin tzansik is shaloi b'derech hateva klal. With everything, the akshanis and the savlonis, the patience and the stubbornness, that it's going to be the way it has to be. There's nothing phony, no compromises. This is the way it has to be. Nothing else. It has to be the right way. And he's not only like that with gashmi's things and ruchnis. This is the way it has to be. If it'll take longer, it'll take longer, but this is the way it has to be. So he says, a person in Zabodu Gemenusa, we have a Kabbalah from all the tzaddikim. We'll just finish this paragraph. Ein Adam ba'olam shebikesh be'emes me'akadosh baruch hu sheyechazik bo'ez ha'emuna bo'ez baruch shemo. Again, that's what I was saying a minute ago when it comes to spiritual things. There's a Kabbalah that we have that there is no such thing that of any Jew who asked Be'emes Hashem to give him strength in Amunah, Shalom Neskabla Tfiloso, that the Tfilah should not be answered. No such thing. It can't be. If you're persistent and you go through those tests, V'hepach Lebal Emuna Chaya Umuchashis. It's a Bal Emuna who, it's the opposite for a person who does not, whose Emuna is not a living and tangible Emuna. When you're living, when your Emuna is alive and tangible, and you daven be'emes for more Emuna, and for ischaskes in Yiddishkeit and in Emuna, you will always be answered if you continue asking, truthfully. Hashem created us with such a teva, with such a nature that we're impatient. Our nature is we want to see results immediately. And if we don't see, we're misyayish, then we give up. And in this way of life, it's hardly anything can grow, hardly anything can develop. A person must be stubborn in Avodas Hashem. Any Jew who was stubborn over years and did not let go, did not give up, he would be greatly rewarded. In other words, it would always turn out, and it would turn out not just good, but it would turn out much, much more than he ever expected. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue next week.